Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 55 of the 5 Minute Major Podcast STL, brought to you by Across the Board Games. A quick shout out Gateway Sports as well. We are now a part of their whole affiliation. They got us on their website. They're reposting all our tweets and stuff. So shout out to them. We appreciate the help of expanding the reach of our podcast in St. Louis and beyond. You know, this episode is kind of just going to be a catch up on the last three games. We have an awesome interview coming in the middle of this. A St. Louis local now playing for Lindenwood in her graduate years. So you get to hear some stories from her and hear how her journey has been, which is awesome. But Josh, how are you doing?
We're good. We are recording our first episode from Canada. So I am super pumped. I made it here on Thursday. I got to see Swain before she left to go fly. And now I'm just here in Canada and she's back in the States. So it just a changing of the guard just so we can watch our doggo Goose. So he's laying right here next to me as we're recording. But yeah, doing well. I went up to CAA Arena, which is where the Belleville Senators play, and I watched a youth hockey game for a little bit, and man, they were flying. They were buzzing.
Probably a lot more entertaining.
Bar down goals, and they were freaking celebrating like no other. It was so much fun to watch.
I love that. You know, that just goes to show the youth movement in Canada is still pretty different compared to down here, especially in St. Louis. It's up and up, but especially like small town St. Louis.
Picked up some new skates while I was up here too.
I saw, nice. I need some too. I still have the Eastons, but
bro, you gotta come to Canada and go to Hockey Stick Man. Shout out Hockey Stick Man. That place, it's like pro stock inventory.
Okay.
So I got new used skates essentially for me. The guy only wore them like a couple games. He plays for Penn State. So I got this guy's skates and they are sick. They're like $1,300 skates I got for half price.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, people don't realize how expensive real skates are. Like, there's a difference. If you go on like the CCM website, you can get like the recreational adult and you can get the pro, which are like you said, $1,000. It's like, what are we doing?
Bro, that's And I got them, so, you know, you get them for Canadian, and then the exchange rate's actually cheaper for U.S.
Yeah, that's so, I always loved buying jerseys out of Canada, because it would always be like, oh, they're making like $150 themselves, but I'm paying like not that much.
Bro, this guy, Kim Kendall, is the dude that helped me get these skates and like worked for the Ducks, worked for the Kings as a consultant for all these NHL teams.
We got to get him
He's recruited. Dude, he was so good. He basically is like, I'm going to get you into skates and they're going to feel like slippers. And let me tell you, they heated them up. They put them on my feet and they're molded to my feet now.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool.
It was great.
That's so cool.
Hello, listeners. Josh here to tell you about the story of Across the Board and how it began. Husband and wife duo Ryan and Kim McDaniel dreamt of beginning their own business together while enjoying drinks on their patio. Thanks to an after-dinner party with family, their dreams began to take shape, and Across the Board, handcrafted wooden board games began. With Ryan's construction background and Kim's marketing and business experience, they began to design board games for family and friends. Several years later, they started a garage hobby, which grew into a warehouse operation, which is still steadily growing today. Sadly, Ryan went through a battle with colon cancer and peacefully passed in 2015. Kim uses his strength, hope, and true love to inspire and drive the force behind Across the Board. It is truly a pleasure to be sponsored by a great business and an even better family. If you'd like to learn more about Across the Board, please check out our bio with their links. If you're going to search them, go to www.shopatbgame.com or visit their locations in Crestwood and West County Mall in De Pere. For any other questions, don't hesitate to give them a call at any of their offices. It's a family business that we love and we love to support. And like always, the 5 Minute Major Podcast is here to support STL local businesses, just like they're helping us.
Welcome back, y'all. Today on the 5-Minute Major podcast of SCL, we are joined up by a standout defender from the Linenwin University who brings great consistency to the ice, skating in all 33 games this past season, posting 9 points, led the team in an impressive 75 block shots. Before joining Linenwin, she was a standout athlete at the University of Minnesota. And before that, she was playing for the Chicago Mission. We are pleased to welcome Josie Dunn Weeks to the show. Welcome on.
Thank you.
We are super pumped to get you on. You come from a pretty extensive hockey family there. But how are you doing today? How's it going?
Doing good. Had a tough weekend, but, you know, we're onward and upward. It's a long season, so just going to learn from it, keep going. Got to see Jinty play and Joy play yesterday and Josh today, so fun hockey weekend for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure you are constantly watching hockey games wherever you're at with everyone playing.
Oh, yeah. Just my siblings, though. I can never just, like, turn on a game. Like, I have to know someone that's playing or friend or family. Otherwise, it's too much hockey.
That's yeah, wild. No, I don't blame you.
So does it, like, did you ever, like, have a favorite team growing up, or was it just strictly watching siblings? I mean, you were probably around it all the time anyway, so.
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like siblings, because, like, really growing up here, like, especially, like, being, like, a female ice hockey player, like, I didn't know girls played college hockey. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know there were teams. Like, when Jessica left for Ohio State, I was like, what's she doing? Like, I didn't even, like, fully, like, comprehend it. And then, like, Jinty left to go play college hockey, and I was like, maybe I want to do that. Like, that seems pretty fun. But, like, still, like, didn't know. And, like, we'd go to Blues games, but I was like, ah, I kind of like it. Not really. And then in Chicago, getting to see Kane and Taze play, I was like, maybe I like the Blackhawks. Is that a good
thing? Oh, no.
Makes, like, sense.
So much fun to watch. Then the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and I was like, well, maybe I'm a Blues fan. So I don't know. I don't know if I have a set team. I guess whatever team my siblings are playing for.
I was going to say, I feel like you got to be a Buffalo Sabres fan now.
That's a hard team to be a fan of, but I'm working on it.
Oh man. So you grew up in St. Louis. You're an O'Fallon, Missouri kid. And then went to Chicago, you said, to play after that, correct?
Correct. I left when I was 14 years old and did 4 years with the Mission before going to Minnesota.
Goodness. Okay. So how did you decide on going to Chicago? Like, what drew you to that team?
So in the summer, I had gotten to, like, go to a couple camps, met some of the Chicago girls, and particularly Abby Murphy. One of my best friends still to this day, she's like, I was telling her, I was like, yeah, this, like, the girls program, like, I'm thinking I want to change. So I looked at Shattuck, and she goes, you should really, like, look at Mission. She's like, I think you'd love it. And, like, you could live with me and it'll be great. And so I went out there for a skate and told my parents, I was like, I want to play for Chicago Mission, 100%. The skate I went to, we didn't touch a puck. We actually skated the entire 60 minutes. But I was like, this is the intensity, like, and the compete level that I want. Like, I want to go here.
That's awesome. Yeah. Also, crazy that your practice, you didn't touch a puck. That's a fun practice there. I bet you're feeling it at the end of that one.
Oh, yeah. Mission, but the girls were like, yeah, we skate a lot. And I'm like, okay, like, I skate. Like, that's fine. But the first 2 weeks, you don't touch a puck at Mission. I don't know if they still do that now, but when I was at Mission, we didn't touch a puck the first 2 weeks, and we just bag skated.
Extremely
and
conditioned.
We never lost a game because we were out of shape, that's for sure.
I was going to say that I feel like so many teams now, they forget that aspect of the game, that if you're in good shape, you can offset some things in a game just being able to outskate your team you're playing.
So true. Yeah. Well, you ended up being the captain for the Mission for, what is that, 2 or 3 years? Like you said, you had a 44-10 record as a senior, like 4-time state champion. Unreal. So to walk us through that team, you know, who was on your team, maybe some names we might know.
Yeah, no, we were pretty loaded my 2 years. We had Abby Murphy, Ella Huber, Lindy Lobdell, Annie Spring, Ellie Kaiser. We had a lot of girls. I think most of our team went on to play college hockey, whether at the D1 level or at the D3. And, like, we were just, like, stacked. Like, we had so much fun. We would show up to the rink and, like, we always compete. Like, practices were more competitive in the games. Like, we're hitting each other in practice. Murph and I are fighting.
That's crazy.
We're making up later, and then we're beating Chattuck at the end of the day. So
That's insane. I love that. It's also comical to say that your practice isn't more competitive. You know, being that opposing team, when you guys strolled in, they're like, oh, great. We got to play them for 60. This is awful. What are we doing?
Yeah. No, I think that's just like how Mission was in the mindset. It was like, we're going to compete in practice. Like, when we practice so hard, the games are going to become easy. And like, yeah. That's just the way, like, I've always loved it. Like, I love to compete, love to skate, love to work, and just like battle.
So you played in Chicago. What was your process like of picking where you're going to go play college? Because I know your siblings have played kind of all over there and in Ohio, and you ended up in Minnesota. But what teams were you kind of considering in this process and this time?
Yeah, I was kind of open to anything. I feel like different than my siblings have kind of always been like, oh, I'll do my own path, do my own thing. And so both Jesse and Jincy went to Ohio State, and Josh at the time, he went on to play at Green Bay. And so we were kind of getting recruited at the same time. And so he ended up picking Clarkson, but that was Clarkson's like selling point. They're like, you can go to school with your brother. And I was like, oh, no, we're actually not that close right now. And I don't know if I want to go all the way to Potsdam, New York. Where's that? But they were a school that I was considering because they had won the past few years. Obviously, Ohio, Minnesota, and then BU, BC, I would say were kind of in my like top picks. Wisconsin, both older sisters were like, nope, not going to Wisconsin. Don't even look there. I was like, okay, I can get on board with that. And then really honestly thought that I was going to like follow a similar path as my older sisters, but toward Minnesota, and just absolutely fell in love with it. Was surprised how much I loved it. Again, that kind of had to deal with Abby Murphy. She had committed to Minnesota and she's like, I really think you would love it. Like, I think you should consider it. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know. It's really cold there. And like only Minnesota girls go there. So I don't know if that's for me. And then just was like, nope, I love it. This is where I want to go.
That's awesome. Also, talk about a hockey hotbed and a university that just loves supporting their hockey program. So you walked into probably one of the best facilities, I would say, for college hockey, I feel like, too.
Oh, yeah. And like, because there was no recruiting rule. So like, I'm like 14 years old and like, I'm just overwhelmed. There's their own rink. There's like locker room set up. There's an athlete's village that's being built, like just the resources. And I think too, like for girls, like this was pre-COVID and I was like, I only get 4 years to play. Like, I want to be somewhere that like where they care about hockey, where it matters, where there's a fan base. Like, and two, like, I want to go somewhere place where I'm going to compete. Like, I want to work for my spot. I want to earn it. And like, I want to win a national championship.
It's incredible. Yeah, you've mentioned compete a couple of times now. Is that just from growing up in a hockey family, kind of competing against your siblings?
100%. And I'm like, it's honestly beyond like hockey, but like any sport. Like, we're playing knockout basketball, like everyone's in it to win it. Like, you're catching elbows, someone's gonna like end up with a broken bone. Like, we're playing a board game, like we are in it to win it. That definitely comes from our parents and how we were raised, but we like to win and we're gonna compete for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you came from a pretty athletic family. Your dad played soccer at TCU. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So how did any of you play soccer growing up? Like, was it not like a soccer where everyone's going to be soccer players? Or like, how'd hockey end up being the sport that seemed like your family chose?
No, it's kind of crazy because they put us in every single sport growing up. Like, we did soccer, hockey, basketball, field hockey, lacrosse, swim team. Like, they put us in everything. They need someone to play the trombone. They need someone to play the piano. Like, anything that they could sign up your kid for, like, our parents did it. And I think just being so close in age and that, like, compete level, I think hockey, like, once one of us was like, okay, this is our sport, then we're like, okay, maybe that's our sport. And so, like, we all kind of just gravitated towards it.
Cool. So you picked Minnesota. I know you, so you're a graduate player now at Lindenwood. What brought you to Lindenwood? Is it wanting to go home? The draw to being close to family? I mean, Lindenwood's women's team is a very competitive program. So what kind of brought you home to them?
Yeah, so at Minnesota, I'd played my freshman year fully healthy. And happened to have a few ankle injuries, 3 in a row. So I had that extra year because of COVID and just another medical year. And then looking in the portal too, like when I went in the portal, I was like, okay, like I want to get a grad program of like something that I'm interested in. I want to be close to my fiance because I was engaged. And I just want to go somewhere where I'm going to play. And it's just going to be like, and just compete. And like talk to schools in the portal and like within 30 minutes of being in the portal, the first school they emailed me was Lindenwood. And I was like, go home? Like, maybe I'll go home. Like, I don't know. Like, we'll see. And went back and looked at all the schools and looked at my list. And Lindenwood met every single criteria of the list I'd made.
That's awesome.
So it became pretty clear where I wanted to go. And Taylor, too, right out of the portal, was like my head coach. She, like, you get kind of like a general email in the portal, but hers was like personal, of like knowing I played forward and D, like being from the area, and like just a bunch of different things that I was like, okay, like I'm also like this coach like cares about me, and like this email too, like I've gotten some general emails, and like this one's like actually like personal. And I think especially being a grad student, I'm like, that means something to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's, so we've talked to the men's team head coach, and his is about building those connections, and that's what he strives on. And I think everyone we've talked to that is involved with Lindenwood hockey on the women's and men's team, it's just making those connections. And that's cool to see, because I think they don't talk the talk, they walk the walk. And if to use that kind of cliche statement, but that's cool. And I'm glad you were able to find a home in Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. And what is the portal like? I know this is the big question with the portal. You put your name out there. Did you have support from Minnesota? Because I know you used your 4 years there. Did you ever think like taking graduate seasons there? Or what was the steps for you?
Yeah, no, Minnesota was great about me being in the portal. And like I had a relationship with the coaching staff and was open that I was like, because we talked about my fifth year, and I was like, I think I'm just ready for change. Like I'm just ready for something new. Like I signed my 4 years. I did my 4 years and just ready to like move on and see what's out there. And the portal this time was very different than the portal when I was 14. I guess I wasn't really in a portal before, but just the whole recruiting process. Because now, like in the recruiting process, everyone's like, okay, this is how much money we can offer you. So this time around, it was all about NIL money. And like, we can offer you this. If you do this, you'll get this deal, this amount of money now, you sign now. Like, that was the biggest difference of like, okay, this is how much money we can offer you. And I'm like, okay, money in the scholarship, sure. Like, that sounds good to me. But too, like, I had, luckily with all my siblings, I'd call and I'd be like, they want this, but they're going to pay me this, but they want me to do this. And they're like, yeah, no. They're like, you can't pick a school just for money. I was like, I wasn't going to, but I'm just using you for advice.
Yeah. Did you ever consider trying to get over to Ohio to play? Was that ever an option to go try to play with siblings or?
Yeah, I think I did. I did like talk with Joy. I'm like, was that like, would you even be interested in like having me? Or like, yeah. Too, like when she was in the recruiting process, like originally we were only going to have 1 year together. And I was like, do not pick a school because of me. Like, you need to pick where you want to go. And like, I picked Minnesota because that was right for me, and like, go where you want to go. But just in like with Ohio, like it wasn't exactly what I was looking for. And we talked about it, and we're competitive, but I think it's good that we're kind of doing our own thing. But obviously, like, love to play with her, play together, but just wasn't what I was looking for.
I think that's a testament to your family. Like, it just hearing you talk about your family and how everyone's pushing you to do what's best for you is kind of awesome. And I think if you're coming from a hockey family, you just want the support, but you also, like they're saying, don't settle for something just for the convenience. And I think that's cool for you that they're helping you with that along the way too.
Mm-hmm. Mom and dad, like, just go play with her. I'm like, well, Joy and I are on a little bit different level. I haven't played in a while, been hurt, and it might be me watching Joy from the bench, which I'll cheer really loud, but I don't know if that's for me, mom and dad.
They want less trips. Yeah, they go to the same place. They want
one jersey, one thing, whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool though. So I know you're part of the leadership group on this Lindenwood team. You're wearing the C this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've talked to multiple hockey players and everyone has a different leadership style. Would you say you're more of a vocal or more of a, just what you do on the ice and hopefully people follow suit? Which one would you kind of describe yourself as?
I would say both, but I guess if I had to pick one, more of like an action style leadership, because I think especially like having been a female captain before, like if you're not walking the walk, and like I can't tell someone to hit the net if I miss it 5 times in a row. And so I think I'm very big about actions and like only speaking like if it's necessary, because like I've had some captains before and they're just like talking and talking, and everyone's like, okay, well, you just didn't do what you said. You just yelled at everyone for something that you're not doing. So just very big about actions, because like, I think especially being a leader, like you have to recognize that like you're human and not perfect. And like, sometimes emotions are going to get the best of you, but like you can always do things the right way. And like, you can control the like controllables of like being on time, being prepared, like the effort that you put in. And so I've always tried to lead that way first.
Such great advice, especially for the younger athletes. You know, you might be feel like you're getting bossed around by a coach, but once you see like your teammates acting the right way, then you kind of realize the difference between a coach and your teammate. Like, I feel like a lot of times people think the coach is like a bully, or they try to make them act like they're your best friend, but they're kind of in the middle. But like, your teammates should be like your brothers and your sisters, you know? So that's really cool. So you said Lindenwood was a good choice just based off, you know, your whole list of things. First of all, I want to ask you what you're studying for your graduate degree.
Yeah, so I'm actually getting my second master's degree right now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I got my master's last year in sports science, and then honestly wasn't sure if I wanted a 6-year, but still was kind of enjoying hockey and wanted it, and so I'm actually getting my master's in business right now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
That's the right way to do it. If you can keep playing and people are keep paying for school, just keep getting degrees while you can. I wish I would have had someone paying for my school, you know?
Like, if you can play and get your school covered, like, why not? I was like, okay, yep, you're right.
I only have the last couple, Josh, for like St. Louis types of questions. Do you have any other hockey related questions?
Yeah, so our big thing right now. So we've made it a goal this year on our podcast to cover more women's hockey. And to kind of put you guys out there more, because I don't think you guys get covered enough. With that, we always like to ask our guests that are playing hockey at all different levels, if you could give a couple bits of advice to a young girl who's like, I want to play college hockey, or I want to take my hockey game to another level, what would you tell them? What would you wish someone was telling you at a young age?
That you have to do extra, because there's a girl in Minnesota or in Canada who's on the ice twice a day or has access to whatever it is, the resources, but like, it's you that's going to take you to the next level. But that is like going to the right tournaments and the right thing. But like, you have to be like willing to put in the work. You have to be willing to do that, like extra skate, those extra sprints, like take those extra shots, and play with the boys as much as you can. Honestly, I think the boys requires you to like keep your head up, which is, you can kind of tell when a girl's played boys hockey and hasn't played just by the way they play and the quickness of it, but be able to translate to that boys game into the girls game. And do, honestly, like, most important is to, like, it is cliche, but like, have fun while you're doing it, because if you don't enjoy the work that you're doing, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's awesome. I think that the insight that we're hearing from all the different hockey players we've talked to is just live in the moment and love it, but also love the work, because that's what's going to get you there. And I think it's cool to see that y'all are wired in a similar way per se, but everyone has that, just that little thing about them that has helped them get this far. And it's cool to see. But with that, what has been some of the challenge? I know you said you had 3 ankle injuries.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mindset did you have to use to get back from those injuries? Because I know it's just, you feel like you can't catch a break when you get the second one and the third one. Like, what kind of helps you keep going? Was it family? Was it your coaches? Was it your teammates? What helped you along the way?
I think the biggest thing that helped me, honestly, was like my faith. just like the perseverance to keep going, and like with that, with my siblings and like them backing me with like scripture and messages, and just like, I had a lot of people like pray over me and like a lot of different things of like, just like, keep going, and like the Lord hasn't forgotten you, like, just because you're hurt. And like, I was hurt for 3 years, like for 3 years my ankle was in pain, and I was like, it's never gonna feel good again. Like, I definitely came to like doubt that, but like, just a support system of like my family, the medical staff, and just like through constant prayer, like, to this day, I prayed like for 3 years, and then like one day I had no pain, and like still to this day, like, I don't even feel my ankle. I've got 3 scars on it, and like, nothing. I could run, jump, it's all good now.
Okay, so did you end up did you get surgery too then?
Yeah, so I had surgery 3 times on it.
My gosh. Okay.
Was it like, what specifically was it for the ankle? Just broken or?
So it was the first time, like the first injury was right before we were about to start my sophomore year, and it broke and fully snapped, like fully tore. Like, it broke, like just everything, like it went and it went fully. Like, there was nothing like recoverable about it.
Wow. Yeah. But look at you now. You're playing back-to-back seasons here in Lindenwood, and it all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's amazing. I feel like you're not the only person to bring up faith. I mean, I was going to ask, you know, who have you looked up to? But obviously, you know, God is kind of a main answer to that now that I know what you just said. But it's such an underrated way to feel. I think faith is so important. And obviously, St. Louis is a pretty Catholic Christian city, so it kind of trends all the way throughout the whole population. But even outside of it, if you can't have faith, then I feel like people, you know, they're just missing out. They're truly missing out. But your story is just a testament to it. You know, one day it just felt better and you don't even notice anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So it's incredible. I thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. And I think it was, I always thought I was someone who didn't put their identity like into hockey. Like I was like, no, I don't do that. Like it's just a game I play. And then like my freshman year, like after like played fully, like my head's kind of big, like things are good. And then like I got hurt and then I wasn't playing and I was like, wait, what? Like I'm not playing. I have to battle like for a spot. Like I'm not on the fourth line or like I don't even get to dress. Like I'm medically like in the stands. And just like how much my injury like took hold of me. And I was like, wait, I am someone whose identity is in this sport. Like I am letting like this game affect my entire life. Like my sophomore year, like it was the first time like I failed a class because I couldn't walk to it. I was in that much pain. And just like to like shut down with friends and different things. Because I was just like, this sport, like I have so much of my life and I get into it. Like, I don't know how to separate myself from it. So getting injured, as hard as it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And like for my faith and like the woman I am now because of what had happened. And like, had I not gotten hurt and like kept playing and the way things were going, I think my head just would have keep gotten bigger. Eventually my siblings would have shot that down. But just like, just incredibly just like in awe of the Lord and like that it did take 3 years, but like the refining process that it went through and like just getting to like have my siblings as that guide, because obviously they have had a lot of injuries too. And just to where it is now and like to not even feel my ankle is just like insane. And too, like we lost this past weekend, but like I'm moving onward and upward. Like I am the captain and like gonna figure out a way to reset, but like I'm not gonna let the weekend like determine the rest of my Sunday, the rest of my weekend. We gotta move forward because at the end of the day you gotta win when it counts. So that's the plan.
I think what you just said is the reason why you were in that seat. That if if people in St. Louis don't know who you are, that this right here, if I had to give them just a clip about you, like just what you said right there is the reason you're a good leader and why you're the right fit for Lindenwood too. So that I love hearing your side of the story. And that's been cool to have you talking about that. We do some fun questions at the end usually. So you grew up in St. Louis. I know you went to Chicago. So please, are you a Chicago style pizza fan too? Is that like your go-to? Yeah. Or, oh my God.
Emo's is fine, but like.
That's fine.
Amazing. And Portillo's? I'm a Portillo's fan.
Okay. All right. I
mean, we can't say she's wrong.
No, I know she's not wrong, but I was, oh man, I'm not a Chicago style pizza fan. I can't. I'll do Detroit style over Chicago any day, but Chicago, I don't know. No, I can't do it.
That's fair.
So what's your favorite go-to restaurant in St. Louis then? If obviously it's not Emo.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's is Emo.
If I'm sticking with like St. Louis base, I gotta go Pappy's. Like it's not something that I have all the time, but like, incredible. Like if someone's coming to visit me from out of town, like we're going to Pappy's. We're going to go downtown to Pappy's too.
There you go.
Not that one. Downtown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Underrated barbecue, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. For sure. I don't have anything else, Josh. Do you?
Yeah, no, I guess we can kind of wrap it up with so season, like you said, on and upward. Tell us a little bit about your team, just kind of where you guys are at and what the plans are for the season still here, and just a little kind of inside into the locker room, how you guys are feeling, what's up next for this Lindenwood team.
Yeah, I think we're feeling a little stuck, but also encouraged, because we started off our schedule playing some really good teams. And like a couple of the teams, like St. Thomas, we lost to with like 7 seconds left, which was unfortunate, but like they just took Wisconsin into overtime and they took Ohio State into overtime. And like Mankato too, we lost to them by one goal and like that was a close game and like they just swept the Gophers. So like we know what we can do. We think we're just figuring out how to put it all together. And luckily for our conference, all 7 teams make playoffs and like it really is winning when it counts. I think our still goal is to get home ice for playoffs, which means we need to be, I believe, in the top 4. Which is still doable. We got Bemidji this weekend and then one more in conference series. So yeah, I think we're confident in our group. I think we're just figuring out our last final pieces to put together, but we believe in ourselves and our group's from all over. So I think we're finally starting to get on the right page. Same kind of English words. We've got Slovakia, Spain, Norway, Hungary. We're all over. So, but it is a fun group. It's fun to hear the different voices and just the accents. And so
yeah, you guys had a gauntlet out of the gate. Good Lord. I mean, starting your season off against St. Cloud, goodness. Like, you guys had no time to ease into the season. It was like, here we go, and we're playing a top nationally ranked team out of the gate there.
Yes, and too, like, I was trying to tell the girls before, because obviously I've played St. Cloud so many times. Like, just be ready for the game to be physical. Like, that's the best way I can describe St. Cloud is, like, they're going to hit you, they're going to follow through, and, like, you just got to be ready for that. And we did our best, and they played exactly that way, but they got a pretty good goalie on the back end over there.
Yeah, I was going to – did you – so you probably played against Dale, who played at St. Cloud. I'm thinking if you guys would have been playing at the same time against each other, if you were at –
I think I would have, whether, because actually at Lindenwood, we played St. Cloud last year as well. So whether at Lindenwood or at Minnesota, yes.
Minnesota. Yeah, yeah. So we've had Dale on and we've had Mackenzie Webster on too. So we're trying to make sure we're getting a ton of the collegiate players on. And you guys are all just amazing to talk to because you guys are a wealth of knowledge and just the work ethic that you all have is insane. This is why I could not have played collegiate sports because it's a whole other level of sports.
It is a business and a job. And I think that's the one I would say misconception that people have about college hockey is that like it's the same as youth, but college hockey is a job. Like you have to put in your time in the classroom and like you get paid in the form of a scholarship and like you are expected to perform and like you have to maintain a certain grade point average. Like you have to do the work versus like in youth, you can kind of like slide by or coast by, but it's not really the way college works.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, we cannot thank you enough. This has been so fun, and we'll be pulling for you guys at Lindenwood. We're big Lindenwood fans for the men and women's team. So with that, anything you'd like to just say at the end to wrap it on up? Anyone you want to thank or along the way for helping you in hockey? We'd love to just kind of give you a little moment to say what you want.
Yeah, I think honestly, just getting to reflect on this, especially with being Thanksgiving, just the gratitude of my parents, especially being older now, just like how much time and effort they put into getting me, my siblings to and from the rink and getting to live out our dreams. And I think just my siblings, for my friends, for bringing me here, Abby Murphy, especially for just helping on my hockey career. But no, this has been really fun. And I think I'm excited to see where St. Louis hockey keeps going, especially on the girls' side. And a special thank you to Philip McCray for the opportunities he's given me here and just the kids at TPH, because TPH is coming and the St. Louis kids, you're going to see more of them getting drafted and higher here soon.
Yeah, I was going to say St. Louis is kind of a, I don't know if it's a secret anymore because I think we're starting to put out a lot of great hockey players, but I think we're just getting started. And I'm excited. I'm pumped to see all the kids that are about to come out of St. Louis and the college ranks and the pro ranks.
Oh, yeah. It's on the up. So, no, thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks,
Josie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. you will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.
But good time there, and let's hop into some Blues hockey talk.
Yeah, bud. Last time we talked, they had just gotten massacred by Vegas. And now they're on the road for the longer ones of the season up in the East Coast. And they started out in Toronto, just injury riddled Toronto team. And you lose. you lose an OT.
You lose to a struggling team.
And it's a play on the boards where you have Broberg and Bush manning one man and you lose the battle. You can't.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Holloway's in no man's land, not even covering the middle of the ice. So it's just like those are the mental farts, the brain farts, right? That costs you an extra point. And like, we'll go to the next game, which is the same thing, basically. And just think about all the extra points we'd be in a playoff spot. I said this last episode. It'd be a totally different story. We'd be like, oh yeah, the Blues, you know, they're 10-7 or whatever. It's like way better. Anyway, that game against Toronto was brutal. Like you said, they're struggling, and Berube has the same words Monty's been having here up there. It's like they're kind of in the fans. I've read the tweets. The Toronto fans are like, "Oh, Berube needs to go," but then people are like, "No, we've been doing this for years. It's the players."
It's the same thing that we have talked about with so many of these teams where we don't want to address the elephant in the room, that it's the players that are causing the problem.
I know.
Their problem per se in Toronto was trading Mitch Marner, or letting Mitch Marner. They traded his rights and that, but like
they had to.
Yeah, but I don't think he was the problem.
No, I don't think the issue is the man who literally would run your offense, you know, and play great defense. I think one of the mistakes up there. We're not even talking about Blues now. One of the mistakes up there is giving the C away from John Tavares. He is your captain of the team. I don't think it matters too much because he is the one captaining the team, but he should have never gotten rid of the C. Also, Matthews is hurt a lot, and that's another huge one. And you're talking about a 70 goal scorer can't even play now. His back's messed up. What is it? His shoulder? Like, he can't stay healthy. And then, of course, Nylander scores a million goals, but he's not a defensive player. And then now you have a bunch of third and fourth liners just trying to mesh. And
I mean, it's the not thing working. Is they score goals. They just can't keep the puck out of their own net. And much like
Stolarz has been hurt a little bit too. So it's like,
much like a lot of these Canadian teams, no one has a shutdown goalie.
No, Ottawa thought they did, but Ullmark is kind of in a weird spot. I don't know. He needs to step it up for sure. But I totally agree. Like, Montreal's having struggles at goalie, and of course Vancouver's Demko's hurt every year for 40 games. It's like,
yeah.
So those are the things that stink. But the Blues can't lose that game. You just can't. You can't lose lose the way you did. You can lose the game, but losing that battle it's like the fans were like, we're done. We're done.
The frustrating point is I don't know why Booch was your guy of choice.
Yeah, that's
I'd rather see Suter out there.
I mean, me too. I don't think Suter or Devo or Neighbors in this last game, or you know, they don't get enough touches on OT.
Yeah,
that's for sure. For sure.
It was just infuriating watching, because I just felt like you're riding this thin line where you're still trying to give minutes to a guy that is just bad right now.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because I love Bucci in so many ways, but like right now it's getting hard to really be able to give him any support.
I agree. I mean, I'll support him over the last two games that we're going to talk about. So
yeah,
we ended up traveling to Philly, had a day off, got to Philly. We needed a revenge game against these guys after what we did. We blew two goal leads Came out hot, great first period. You know what? We've been good in the first period, like getting mm-hmm. a lead lately. Like, it's wild. I think that's why we're stealing points, basically.
Yeah.
But the second period was a slight decline. One of the better ones as of late, but still a decline. And then the third period, we sat back again. We blew another 2-goal lead. Another one to this team. Yeah. 3 in 2 games. And go to OT, and it's the same people out on the ice, bud. It's Boosh, Fowler, and Chen on the ice at once. And, you know, I've seen a lot of tweets about how Mati's got to get blamed to it. I do agree. He's got to have a better – he can't toss out those guys all at once. He just can't. You just can't. And it's a yeah. mental mistake from Fowler pinching, and then Boosh can't recover. Shen's caught up, and it's a free 2-on-0, 1-on-0, or whatever it was. And it's just, what's a goalie going to do on that one? Sad, really.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, Hofer played great in net.
Yeah.
Like, literally did everything for you in that game. And, like, I'm starting to see our goalies are coming out of this slump. Are they still where we need them to be? No. But they're not stealing us games, but they're not as at fault for the losses lately. True. I still just don't know how you have the Parayko and the Fowlers of last year, and this year they look this lost.
I don't know if it's a conditioning thing or just a mental thing, just like change. Everyone. Maybe.
Because
why did we ever stop playing like we did on the freaking 15 game win streak? You know yeah. what I mean? I think yeah. maybe they just needed to find it again. And you've seen it a little bit more. Like, Pareko's getting up there in the play. Broberg's always up in the play. But
if we're going to give anyone the glimmer of hope right now on this Blues team, is Philip Broberg being a number one defenseman.
Dude.
And the contract extension, maybe he's not one to talk until the end of the season, but 8 years. You have to lock him up to an 8-year deal.
10 plus.
8 by 10. And lock him up.
100%. I don't even care if it's 12, bro. That guy is different.
I just think you got to figure a way right now. And I'm going to also loop back Justin Falk doing, yes, he has his errors. And I know Blues fans love to take the errors and be like, this is why he sucks. But he's tied for first on this team in goals. There's a 3-way tie for goals on this team, and that is between him, Kyrou, and Suter.
I love it, dude.
He's third on the team in points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Incredible, dude. Seriously incredible.
But like, and he's the guy right now, in my opinion, if they're going to move someone, if they decide that they're really, he's going to be the one that gets you some trade value.
Yeah, 100%.
Because any playoff team would be stupid not to be like, oh, let's add this guy into our second or third pair. Can run a power play. Can eat minutes. If you can say you're putting a guy on your third pair or second pair that can eat 25-plus minutes a game.
You imagine if Carolina comes back and says, we want him back here, Svechnikov. It's an interesting one, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Blues can't say no.
A Vancouver team with a lot of question marks on if you're going to get to keep Quinn Hughes, who's a lefty, but to add depth and stability into that back end.
Edmonton's another one, man. Edmonton always needs defense.
And they, scoring and they're big, defense. They're about the puck moving quick. He's not a
true,
quick guy.
True. They need Broberg back.
They need Broberg back. Yet again, if we can take a jab at the good old Edmonton Oilers,
I mean, I agree completely with everything you said. I think the goalies have been way better. Bennington feels a little settled. Hofer was the first to kind of settle in, but he's still kind of getting there.
He's getting a break. Bennington's played 15 games so far still. That's 5 more than Hofer. I'm sorry, like, and we talked about this with Nash. Mm-hmm. He's like, play the goalie. I don't think Bennington's a goalie. You can just be like, I'm going to play him a whole season, and he's going to carry this team.
It's just not a thing anymore, either. Goalies don't play 70 games. No. You know?
And Connor Hellebuck can still do it, but now he's out. With a knee, but it almost, like, it's a minor knee procedure where they're forcing him to, like, take a break because he's going to carry the load for Team USA.
Possibly.
I think it should be split with that group of goalies, but
I think we'll Spencer see. Knight should get a start or two.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if my boy Swayman's gonna make that team.
I think he is. I think it's Knight who's gonna take that spot. Seriously. Because yeah. we know it's Otter and Hellebuck.
Yeah.
But Spencer Knight, dude, he's in the running for like the Hart right now. And the Blackhawks look really good. They're fun.
You know how they're not going to be able to do this all season? I'm starting to think they might be able to do this all season.
They got the power of Bedard. And then
Frank Nazier.
Yeah, Nazar's dope. And then Bertuzzi's scoring. He's finally back to score.
Remember when I said it'd be great to have Tyler Bertuzzi? And you're like, he can't score anymore.
Hey, he just needed a couple of years to get back. And he needed Bedard to fully develop with him.
He needed a number one center to help him, which would have been a Robert Thomas.
That's why he was playing so well in Detroit, too, because he had Larkin and, you know. Yeah. He's just one of those secondary people that you just love to have, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a gritty guy. Like, how does Toronto let a guy like that walk? You know? It's always a question mark up there.
I am starting to say, like, Kyle Dubas. We gave him a lot of crap for the time
Doofus
in Toronto.
Doofus Dubas.
He's got Pittsburgh working, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now you're seeing multiple GMs and presidents struggle and coaches struggle in Toronto. That it's not the X's and O's anymore. It's the Jimmys and Joes. It's the players in that locker room, much like the Blues. And I keep comparing the Blues and Toronto in a lot of ways. We don't superstars. We don't. We have good players. I'm at the point where I don't know if I can claim anyone's a star. I think we're good players. And we don't have players that can drag us into the fight. Boston has David Pastrnak. I mean, Florida has that whole roster is willing to drag. They have a Brad Marchand that'll will carry the torch right now.
Basically.
You have a Sam Reiner or a Reinhardt there too. Edmonton, you have a McDavid, or you have a Dreisaitl. Vancouver, I would say Sherwood drags that team into the fight. Bedard, I don't even know if he's a superstar right now. I'd say he's a star, but he's dragging that team into the fight.
I think he's a superstar.
I mean, we're starting to see it this year, but I think we had some doubts there. I think everyone started to have some doubts. Macklin Celebrini drags that team into the fight.
Oh, yeah. Him and Will Smith are... Will's a star. Celebrini's different. He's a superstar for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the issue we're seeing with this team is that I just don't think we have that one guy that can drag this team into the fight. We don't have that vocal guy in the locker room, it feels like.
But yeah, it's a tough situation.
We hop over to the next game where we're in New York playing the Islanders, and
this was a heavy game, man. This was for both teams. Game. This was Hockey Fights Cancer Night on Long Island. Matthew Schaefer, you know, his mother had passed recently, last year, cancer. So he's got a lot of emotion riding in this game. It was her birthday as well. Yeah. Just a really heavy game, and both teams battled real hard. This was probably the best game we've seen since Dallas. I mean,
yeah, as a whole,
we finally pulled off a defensive game. Like, we didn't curl up in a ball when they scored one to get within one. You know, like,
I was gonna say though, when that goal went in and I got that alert though, I was like, oh, here we go again.
Trust me, dude. I was on Twitter and every Blues fan was saying the same thing. No one has any faith when we give up one of the goals, two goals.
But honestly, at this point, it's rightfully so.
It's justified. I hate seeing it. Like, I the negativity online is always just brutal in general. But
yeah.
I hate seeing it, but it's justified. I mean, the Blues have blown so many games by lackadaisical D in the second and third period, just letting off the gas pedal type of ordeal. And like you said, when you don't have a superstar, you have to do it as a unit. Everybody has to do it. And I still feel like there might be a couple coattailers, like whatever, but this game against New York, 2-1 win in regulation is kind of the turn of the tides. Like, the last few games have been kind of a trend in the right direction. Not perfect, not beautiful, but you're getting points. You know, you're staying alive. Yeah. Like, those things are simple, but you need to notice them as a fan. You can't just keep complaining. Yeah. So we held them off. We ended our 4-game losing streak, even though we ended up getting 3 points in those 4 games, like crazy. Let's go back to Boosh now. He looks a lot better with Shen and Devo for some reason.
Crazy because that is a slow line.
I don't know what it is, but
it's working though.
Good defensive hockey. Faceoffs won by Dvorsky, and if he gets thrown out, you have Shen to win a faceoff. So Bushi really has nothing to worry about besides dump a chase, win your board battles, shots on net, play defense. Yeah. Like, nothing crazy. So I think that maybe the simplification, like the simplifying of his game on that line, especially because Devo's still learning too, it's helping a lot.
And just let them play together. I think this is now the next thing is just let them sit there, let them play.
And that's one thing that people, like, I understand, like Monty, like, you have to settle it in eventually. Like, this is working. Yeah. Just do it. Just do it. And if it blows up, switch it up again. Like, you can't constantly change on the fly during the game if it's working. So, it's a good sign, though. It really is. Like Broberg, bro, he played like 28, 29 minutes. Crazy. Yeah. He didn't even look tired. That guy loves it.
27 something.
No, which it was over 28.
Was it a new career? Because I knew it was a new career high.
Yeah, he looked unreal. He didn't look slow at any point in the game.
No.
I can't emphasize enough how amazing he's been. I don't care about the points. He's out there shutting people down for 29 minutes a game. That's crazy. That's like when Parayko finally became the lockdown Parayko, like a couple
years ago. My thing is, I think Broberg has the personality similar to an Alex Pietrangelo.
Yeah, just like show up, I put in the work, baby, just follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, get out of my way. Yeah.
Yeah, but does it with his game. The issue still is you need to add
Revo.
That boy. I shout out to some of our fans on X talking about a Revo would really help this locker room. He's a vocal guy that keeps it light, but also doesn't have a problem telling people how it is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I mean I agree with you.
I agree too.
We can also loop in some roster news right now. So Skinner did get sent down to Springfield. Mm-hmm. They did send Alex Texier down on waivers. He did not agree to go to Springfield, so he is on waivers to terminate mutual termination of his contract. And Logan Mayhew is back up with his team. So Logan went down, played 5 games, scored 2 goals, was a -2 still. I get it. People are like, yeah. Okay. Springfield's awful.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They did have a 2-0 shutout the other night, but like this team is bad.
Oh yeah.
But we saw Logan refine his one-time shot. And boy, is it beautiful.
Yeah.
And he was running the power play. I think you have to figure out going forward here someone that can run the power play. And this is the other thing I will say. I think Broberg, in comparison, and what you hear from Chris Pronger when the reasons why he says Colton Parayko is not a number one defenseman, he doesn't run a power play too. A true number one defenseman can play in any situation, penalty kill, 5-on-5, and power play. And Broberg is going to be that guy. So right now, Broberg is the number one defenseman of the future for this team.
100%.
Logan Mayhew, I think, is going to be a middle guy. He's going to be a second, third pair guy, and that's fine.
Yeah, but he can be out there to get extra minutes on the power play. That's the upside of that. He might only play 15, 16 when he's finally settled in at an NHL level. But then he'll get an extra minute a game ripping pucks on net, getting points. So that's the upside to possibly not as great as a defenseman as a top pair. I mean, I think Blues fans are so they're just over the guys. I think they just want to see new faces. But when the new face, like Bolduc, gets traded and, oh, he scores a bunch of goals at the beginning of the year, it's over. You know, like, it's always, like, nearsighted.
Yeah.
But when you really think about it, like, the depth that defense was lacking, you needed a right-handed defenseman. You bring in a guy who can score and skate at an AHL level. Just need to mold him into that NHL level defenseman, just make smarter decisions. It's basically just making the simple pass type of thing with him personally.
Yeah. And for those of you who are going to go on and on, these guys are idiots. Bolduc would be, yeah, Bolduc hasn't done anything in the last like 12 games.
Since like a month ago.
Yeah. So, like, I'm sorry.
Unless it takes you're time for him too. Like, he's not an elite player. He's just a really good, solid, you know, bottom six player.
And he was a player 15 that
15 to think 20 goals. Montgomery lays massive hits. Like, he's Barbashev. Yeah. And Barbashev finally turned into an awesome first line player because he plays with Jack Eichel.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. This team still is missing pieces. And you're going to have to give to get, because I think, like we said, we're going to be in the mushy middle because we're not committing to a full just tear it down right now.
Never have, never will.
And that's the frustrating part. I get it. And the Blues are 5 points out of the last wild card spot, 6 points out of third in the Central. Which, crazy, Minnesota slid their way back into third in the Central.
They've been good. Winnipeg's been falling a little bit, but Minnesota's winning games right now, I think. So.
And Winnipeg may struggle here without their goalie. Without Hellebuck, this team is not the same.
They got to rely on Comrie. He's okay. Yeah. He's okay, though. He can maybe steal some and keep him afloat.
So, I don't know. I don't know what to do right now. I mean, do you add at this point? I don't know. I go back and forth right now, and I've been so down on this team. That's why
it's hard to have a podcast right now for this team, because last week we're saying, like, this is it. This is your last 5 games to figure it out. Well, the past 4 games, we've gotten points in. Even though they've been losses, we've gotten points. So, well, what do we do? The team's trying to figure it out. They've kind of figured it out. What's the next play for the management group? Keep riding it. Got it.
You know by the end of this up and coming week.
Yeah.
If you're not at 500 or above.
I agree. You gotta win the next two.
You gotta win the next two to be at 500.
At least.
And if you lose either or, and I even if you lose in overtime, to me, no, we're not doing this.
I know, no more of that. I'm done.
I'm done with you. You got a point. You're almost at no. You got to be at 500.
Your goal differential is still literally last in the NHL.
Yeah, your goal differential is garbage.
Yeah. Well, Predators are one goal worse, but same thing.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think the only trade partners you have right now are Vancouver, Calgary, and Nashville. And who do you want from any of those rosters?
Kiefer Sherwood, Nazem Kadri, and Ryan O'Reilly.
Connor Garland.
Jack DeBrusk. I love a Garland, but he won't go. He just signed a ticket.
And I love a DeBrusk, and you put him back with Jimmy. Put him back with Montgomery.
Makes sense, too. It's such a tough league to be able to make that type of hockey trade without giving something up in the future. And I don't know if Steen or Army really wants to give up any more future. Seriously. Well,
and that's the other thing. I still think if you're trading someone, it's going to be Kyrou.
I don't agree with that, but I mean, I could see it.
I just think he's the only one that you could trade and get some form of value back in return.
Yeah.
And the only other options would be, think you wait till the deadline and you really see, and then at that point, I'm sorry, but I love Shen, but I think Shen's gone if you're out of playoff contention. I think Justin Falk's also gone, which that right there takes what are you getting, almost $13 million in cap space.
Yeah, that so, alone, especially with Falk's contract being up after next year, like that alone helps just in long run.
Yeah, you'd have $13 million plus another six, so a little over 19.
You give Broberg his 10. Mm-hmm.
Holloway's getting a bridge deal.
I think you give Holloway a 2x6.5.
2x5. Unless he tears it up, he's getting 2x5 in my book.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care. Sure. And then maybe you take a risk on a free agent or another trade. Depends on what you get back for Shen and Falk. I mean, I feel like Shen and Falk are very highly praised around the league right now. I don't know what it is about Shen besides the leadership and the hits, but yeah, I think you'd get picks. You'd get good picks.
And if with that, do you package 3 first round picks to move into the top 5 where you could get a potential game changing prospect?
If you're able to guarantee one of Stenberg, McKenna, or Verhoff, you have to make that play. I think Verhoff is the one, dude. I think he's him and Broberg.
I think Broberg.
Or Stenberg, Verhoff, you mean?
Yeah. So I think McKenna's gonna move to 3. 2 or 3. Ooh. He'll go 2. He's gonna be 2 in this pick. I think Verhoff's gonna be your number 1 overall pick.
He should be.
Because he's a defenseman that, yes, he's playing okay in college, but I think he is a harder piece to find. And McKenna has played decent for Penn State, but I still have some question marks on his transition. He's only 17, too. You're not going to see him jump. I don't know if he's going to be a first overall pick that can automatically join the NHL.
Not many people are like Matthew Schaefer, man. Just goes to show.
Would I be okay if we got a Gavin McKenna? Yeah, sure.
Of course.
I mean, I think he would do wonders, but also the other question mark is he going to be a goal scorer in the NHL, or is he going to be another passer?
I know.
We got a lot of passers on this team.
I think the Dvorskis and the Snuggeroods of our team, they can really score goals, but I think it's just the way things are going right now. I think Dvorsky has always had the confidence. He rips it, bro. But I haven't seen much out of Snuggy in shots. But I think he's trying to maybe make plays with Thomas, especially when Bush was on that line, just to try and help him out. Like, but now that it's neighbors, I think maybe he'll have more opportunities to shoot. So it just depends. Yeah. Like also, I don't know, man.
Like we talked about, if you trade Shen, I don't think anyone's getting named captain.
No, you can't. You can't. You have to wait until neighbors next year.
And this is the issue. If you give neighbors that C, what does that do to Thomas?
I don't care.
No, I know.
If he doesn't like it, trade him.
You're not trading Thomas. You don't have close to what Thomas could be.
But if he doesn't like it, sorry, this is another Vladdy situation. You're gone, bud. He's not a captain. He's not a captain. He's just not. He's an assistant captain. He goes out and he produces 70, 80, 90 points, and that's his way of leading the team. He finds you when he shouldn't. That type of stuff. Neighbors is playing music at practice, throwing elbows at his own teammates, like flopping, doing everything he can to
drag you into the fight.
Brendan Morrow.
Yeah.
That's our comparison. Always has been. Yeah.
So, I mean, here's the thing, though. You clear up the money one way, either going into free agency this next year.
Yeah, you do clear some money. Yeah.
Of your unrestricted free agents, Malkin staying in Pittsburgh. He's already said, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not going to Florida. I'm staying there for my career. That's fine.
I love it.
You don't see that with players anymore, and I respect it. Nick Schmaltz, does Utah let him go?
That's a tough guy to let go when he's your leading scorer.
Yeah.
And there won't be much to get back. Maybe he's a trade piece. If Utah's out, maybe he's a trade piece to a contender.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him getting traded to a Carolina or a...
If the Blues, that's a player I'd love the Blues to get, but I don't see us.
Schmaltzy?
Yeah.
Just bring his Jay Swish back, too, to play third pair. Jay Swish back to play third pair and have his brother play first line. He's so sick.
All right. Your other option is Tuck.
I don't love know if he, Tuck, bro.
I love Tuck, but is he going to hit free agency? There seems like, I don't know.
For I don't his know. Sake,
I hope he doesn't stay in Buffalo. He needs to go somewhere else.
I feel like Buffalo's low-key trending, which is crazy to see.
Yeah, but there's all the rumors right now.
They're still 8-9-4, which is crazy. Like, they're still, they're where we are. They're 5 points out. Yeah. Like, they could turn it around, which is probably not going to happen, but they could.
Panarin, I mean, he's going to want 12 plus million. I don't really want him. Carlson's old. You don't need another defenseman. Marcus Johansson, I don't really think is worth bringing in.
How old is John Carlson? 35?
Yeah, probably.
Dude, he's such a good player, though. But he wouldn't want to come here. He'd be a Florida or a Tampa or a, you know, Vegas, Nashville type of player.
Carlson, 35. Marcus Johansson, 35. Mm-hmm. Roslovic, who I still think to this day should have been signed as a Blue in the free agency, will be a free agent again.
He should have signed so many other places. I don't get it.
Yeah, really, he for don't. Sure would.
Mm, so maybe he is a trade piece if he's up for contract.
He's 32.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
So a little late bloomer, but I think he just wants to make some money, eh? I think maybe he's scoring goals because he knows he's going to get a ticket at a cap rising year and then just suck again.
Just cash in. Yeah. Take a 3 or 4 year deal.
Go Tanner. Go full Tanner. Dude, he's been good though. Boston.
He's worked there. Jaden Schwartz.
Dude, I love Schwartzy, man.
I would love Schwartzy, but I don't know how people would feel about bringing a 33-34 year old back into the mix. I think it would help. I know
Blues fans don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, Victor. Cup. Oh, he was on the Cup team. Bring him back. That's what everyone says.
It's an old free agency group, dude. Everyone's like upper, like late 20s, mid 30s.
I feel like if you can get a defenseman at 32 or younger, you can maybe capitalize.
Logan Stanley, 27 years old, baby.
Yeah.
The flying elbow.
Have him out there with freaking Mayu. That'd be a brutal third pair. For now, at least.
There's no one really in this group that, like, I'm like, yeah, it would change our roster.
I agree. That's why I think people are so keen on getting Shen and Falk and maybe even Kyrou out of here for whatever we can. But I don't know.
Yeah, you need high upside prospects. Yeah, I don't know, because here the issue is that, sure, we can take a bunch more draft picks, but then you're waiting another 4 to 5 years on those kids to be here.
Yeah, we're just now seeing Dvorsky. We're just now starting to think Stenberg and Lindstein are getting on their way to be here. Snuggerud hopped in pretty quick, but he's older because of college. So, I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting transition. I hate the transition periods of like winning to kind of stinking to getting back to winning. Like, those are the most brutal years as fans. Because, I mean, what is Doug going to say to us? What's he going to say to us? He had to say we were going to be competitive. He had to. He's not going to be like, oh, we're going to just throw our team out there and hope for the best. No.
My other frustration. Had
to
say
this, I built this roster to be competitive, and I think he believes that, and the fans have to believe it, and then if you stink, you stink.
He hasn't come out and done a press conference or anything, which is frustrating to me.
I don't think he's had to yet. Like you said, I think December 1st is the day. If you're more than where we are now, out of it, 5 or 4 or 2 or 3, he's got to come out and be like, hey, this is what I've been doing behind the scenes. I still believe in the group, or whatever he's going to say.
What he's been doing behind the scenes has been worrying about Team Canada's Olympic roster.
I don't know, bro. I mean, why would he be questioning anything with that roster? I think that's besides the Bedard and the Celebrini thing. Like,
and the Schaefer. I don't think Parayko makes Team Canada.
I think he does. I think
he might be the scratch.
I think Schaefer's your scratch.
Yeah, I don't know. Here is one free agent that I would want the Blues to take a run at.
Okay.
Mason Marchment.
I think he likes Seattle. He's kind of been producing a little more. That team's kind of gelling, which is wild.
I think he would add the beef on the bun and the piss and vinegar you need.
I mean, I agree.
Along with Jacob Trouba.
I love Trouba, man. I'm so happy Anaheim's where they are. They're rolling right now.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks on what this team's going to do, but we'll kind of see. That's they got to win both these games in New York, like we said.
Yeah, it's a trend. These games
put you at 500. Those are four huge points that get you about 24 points, and that's if other teams lose. That puts you 1 point out of a wild card and 2 points out of third.
And we're back like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
We've been trending. Like, you can't deny that we've been trending in the right direction, even if it's slow and methodical and really annoying. We've been barely getting some points, should be getting more. And we finally pulled through on a tight game in the third period where we were down a man 6-on-4 for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I agree that this is it. We've said it. This is it. This is your next 3-4 games. You have to win 3 of them, at least.
Yeah,
I agree. All of them would be great. Then you're in it. Then it really makes Doug and Steen's job really hard, as it always is.
Well, and here's the thing. You got to win these games because you're playing against non-central teams, because by the time you get back, you need to have your game figured out because it's the central team gauntlet.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. You got back-to-back at home, including one against Utah, and you know they kill us.
Yeah, so you got to play a tough Ottawa team, in my opinion. The team's still very good. They have a lot of pieces. I love Ottawa, dude. I freaking love that team.
I love them, too. I think they're great. They need Brady.
Bad. Yeah, once you get Brady back, dude, it's... Oof.
And then if Omar can play like he did in Boston, they're like an actual competitor. Like, they can do it.
Yeah. Tim Stutzel, man. Stutzel?
He's nuts. Oh. He's a great player.
He's a good one. But yeah, you then hop in December 1st, you got Anaheim, then you got Boston, you got Ottawa again, Montreal, Boston again. And Boston, Montreal's on and off right now, but Boston's good. Anaheim's good. You got to beat Nashville, and then you got Chicago again.
Yeah, this is a brutal December.
December, you meet the Central again. You play out of the Central Division teams. You have Nashville, Chicago, Nashville again, Winnipeg, Nashville, and Colorado. You have 6 Central games.
Mixed, you got to win at least half of those.
Mixed in with playing Florida, Boston twice, Ottawa, Montreal, the Rangers, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay.
That's a tough December. Wow. Especially with the way some of those teams are playing now. So
you got 2 backs to backs. You're playing anywhere between 3 to 4 games a week.
I think maybe that's what they need, though. I think maybe a little move and groove just in the routine of, all right, boom, one period at a time.
You got to be in the routine now, and I think that's why you needed this road trip to practice, to be together and to figure out your routine. And I mean, Doug's and Montgomery really had them working.
And I think that's such a big part of the game that people don't realize is bonding, like going out to the bar, getting a dinner, you know.
That's like, how the Gloria songs are found. That's how Jobu gets started. It's how these quirky things about hockey players that just work, and that's how you get this team going.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll see what happens, bud. Yeah, I think that's a good way to wrap it up. To all of you who listen and watch, we thank you. Keep shooting replies on Twitter. Send us emails. DM us on Instagram. If you know somebody you want to see on the pod, we'll try and get them on. You know, let us know. I think Augie actually sent me a list of people that he wants us to talk to. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Josie. She's awesome. One of the better St. Louis hockey families, you know, in the history. The Duns, they're awesome. Gosh.
The Duns are loaded. What a family of hockey players.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll catch you in the next one. Josh, you have anything else?
Yeah, no, thank you to Across the Board. Yep. Thank you to Gateway Sports as we grow our coverage. And if you are wanting your company advertised, give us a call. We would love to get more sponsors and advertisement stuff going, and we would love to get your name out there. So shoot us a message, give us a call. Friends, family, if your businesses are needing some advertising, we would love to give you a shout out. And shout out to Hockey Stick Man and Kim Kittle, who really helped me get some good skates.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, y'all.